Hey, what you're about to listen to is the podcast version of what was a live radio segment on KPFA. Consequently, when you hear us give out a call-in number, you don't want to call it. If you're listening to this as a podcast, it is already too late, and nobody on the other end of that phone number is going to have any useful answers for you. All right, let's go to this week's Corona Calls. We're going to turn, as we do most weeks at this time, to new developments in the world of COVID-19. Our guest, Dr. John Swartzberg, clinical professor emeritus of infectious diseases at UC Berkeley School of Public Health. Good morning, Dr. Swartzberg.
Good morning.
I want to start with the world of federal policy. Health and Human Services Secretary Robert F. Kennedy Jr., following a recommendation from his newly stacked Advisory Committee on Immunization Practices, has just rescinded a federal recommendation in favor of a small subset of the flu vaccine that's in circulation. Almost all doses of flu vaccine issued in America have, for many, many years, have a preservative that uses a mercury compound called Timerosal phased out, except for, as I understand it, multi-batch vials, which are sometimes used to get vaccines to remote areas. There has been, despite a huge amount of attention in the research world, no evidence that this preservative causes health problems, but apparently RFK Jr. wants it taken out of circulation. I struggled reading the coverage to kind of understand what the stakes were for public health, and I'm curious what your thoughts were.
Sure. Thanks for asking this, Brian. This decision was made by Kennedy and the people who he appointed to the advisory committee to the CDC in June were people, six of the seven, are people who are opposed to using this preservative in some vaccines. And as you mentioned, it's only in the influenza vaccine, and it's only in the influenza vaccine that is a multi-dose vial, meaning you can dose 6, 8, 10 people out of the same vial. That's about, represents maybe 4% of all the influenza vaccines here in the United States. So Kennedy had, at the meeting in June with his new members, who, as I said, were all opposed to the vaccine going in, to the additive going in, and known anti-vaxxers, all except one. And then they had a presentation from a nurse who did not use any of the scientific literature, did not consult with nor use any of the expertise at the CDC, but she went ahead and made a presentation at Kennedy's request to remove this preservative, thimerosal. And in that presentation, she cited poor evidence, and I'm being generous when I say that. And actually, in her presentation, she had misquoted a great deal of evidence, and one of the references she used did not exist. And that committee went ahead and 6-1 approved the idea of removing thimerosal as a preservative. So that's the genesis of that. This is this new committee that I've been reading a lot about, and I suspect your listeners have as well, that replaced 17 strong scientists who had previously been on the committee. The translation to this thimerosal issue, while it's a small issue here in the United States, is an enormous issue worldwide. Because while the United States doesn't use multi-dose vials very much at all, as I said, about 4% of the influenza vaccines, and that's it. Worldwide, particularly in the developing world, multi-dose vials are critical. And by removing these multi-dose by making this decision here at the CDC, it's going to be very difficult for the world to be using this vaccine when the United States is not. This is just another attempt, Brian, at trying to destroy the use of vaccines, not only here in the United States, but worldwide, by Kennedy. It is absolutely appalling. And let me say one last thing. I apologize if I'm taking too much time in this answer. But on Friday, there was a report that Kennedy is planning on removing 16 members of the United States Preventative Service Task Force. And that's likely going to be announced this week. This is a task force that sets standards for screening tests and preventative testing and interventions for Americans. And all private insurers have to follow those recommendations. So if you fall into the category, for example, of needing a colonoscopy or needing a CT scan of your chest to rule out lung cancer, these are now paid for if you fall into the categories that this organization, I'll give the short name USPSTF, has cited that there's good evidence. This is a volunteer committee, strong scientists, and it's likely going to be replaced this week, just like what we were talking about with thimerosal. So these are really dark times for the public's health, for our health as citizens of the United States and as citizens of this planet. And all of this is because of RFK Jr.
Do you understand what the ideological beef is that Kennedy has with the U.S. Preventative Service Task Force? I mean, why would you be against early cancer screenings?
It's because it reduces his view, his authority, and his authority is what he wants to use to place his view of what public health should be in the United States. Non-science driven, it's policy driven, and then creating the faux science to support it. That's the best I can give you as an answer. It is absolutely bizarre. We have a very, very disturbed person heading the Human Health and Services here in the United States.
Returning to the question of the Tamiflu preservative in that extremely small subset of flu vaccines, this has been such an interesting study to me in kind of anti-vaccine thinking. Because I can remember about 25 years ago, the late 90s, the early aughts, this was at least kind of a live controversy that this preservative was in widespread use in vaccines. There were a bunch of people who kind of became the anti-vaccine movement as we know them today, who thought its use in childhood vaccines were the reason that autism cases were on the rise. And like the government, out of an abundance of caution, and people who knew chemistry and biology better than I did didn't think there was anything to be concerned about, but out of an abundance of caution, just ordered the thing out of all childhood vaccines, and it was phased out of, as you pointed out, 96% of flu vaccine. And it didn't change the trend line in autism at all, and it also didn't cause anyone who had accused it of causing autism to update their thinking on the subject. It was like the first moment it dawned on me that like data doesn't matter.
That's right. It's evidence-based policy that drives the science. That's what's happening in Kennedy's world right now. They come up with a conclusion and then they cite any evidence they can find, making up a lot of it to support their conclusion. Yeah, let's drill down just a moment on thimerosal. The idea of a preservative, it's a mercury preservative being put in somebody's body, you think, well, gee, you don't want to do that. The consequences of not having a preservative, by the way, in multi-dose vials is that infections are spread that way. And we've got plenty of documentation with multi-dose vials before we use these preservatives that infections, some serious, some even costing people's lives, resulted from that. So these are really important. But the idea of mercury, but let's say there's mercury and there's mercury. Methylmercury is what's found in that people can consume, that particularly very young children, infants, and pregnant moms, this could be a problem, methylmercury, because our bodies can't get rid of it very well and can't handle it very well. This preservative thimerosal is ethyl mercury, ethyl versus methyl, just a real little change chemically, but ethyl mercury our bodies can handle very well and has never been shown to be a problem. And when I say never, there have been not only studies here with the hundreds and hundreds of thousands of people studied, but internationally there even have been more studies that have shown absolutely no problem with this and a lot of benefit. In spite of all of that science that was done 30 years ago and 20 years ago and less, in spite of all of that, this product has been removed. So while, again, it's not an enormous problem, it's not even a big problem here in the United States, it has significance worldwide, but it's a real red flag as to where our government is going to make our health worse.
All right, Dr. Swartzberg, let's take one listener question from the inbox, and then I'm going to have to devote the final few minutes of the hour to fundraising. We got a question signed, The Last Mask Sanding, saying, Dr. Swartzberg, could you please talk about the precautions that you are taking against COVID and other respiratory viruses these days in your daily life?
Sure. As I think many of your listeners know, we're seeing an uptick in cases. People have used the word surge. You and I talked about this a week or so ago, that this is not a surge like our previous surges, but we're having an uptick in cases here in the Bay Area and here in California and in several states nationally. So we're seeing a rise in the number of people getting infected. And certainly I know people right now who are infected, and I suspect your listeners do too. So I think precautions remain reasonable, very reasonable. And what I'm doing is if we dine outside. So we don't try not to eat inside. So we dine outside if we're going to a restaurant. I've been on BART a few times, which is relatively new for me. I have the luxury of being able many times to go when there's not a big crowd on BART, and I always wear a mask, a KN95 or an N95 while I'm on BART. And I see other people wearing masks, but not very many. When I'm in a public place indoors where there's lots of people, for example, standing in line at the pharmacy to pick up medications, I'll wear a mask. So I guess what I'm saying, Brian, is that I try to pick and choose the higher risk places to try to mitigate my risk. And I try to mitigate my risk wearing a good mask.
The Last Mask Standing also asked me about what I'm doing. So I am just getting over COVID. I started testing negative on Friday. So I'm not going to be terribly cautious for the next few weeks because my bloodstream is absolutely flush with antibodies, as I understand it. But the lesson I learned from getting infected, which as best as we can reconstruct it, was from a friend who went hiking with us outside. My wife and I both got COVID at the same time. He had told us before the hike, hey, my wife's sick. She's got a sore throat. She's going to stay home, but she's testing negative for COVID. And my regret is we didn't say, can you take a test too before we hang out? I had assumed outdoor interaction was very safe, but we were walking next to each other for over an hour, talking and breathing heavily on the uphills, and apparently that was enough. So I'll give you my regret rather than my practice, because my practices did not keep me COVID-free. Dr. Swartzberg, thank you so much for spending another Monday morning with us.
You're welcome, Brian. Thank you.
All right, that does it for this week's edition of Corona Calls. If you want to send in a question for next week's, you can email coronacalls@kpfa.org. Or tune in live to Call In Live. Usually we air Monday mornings right after 7:30 news headlines on KPFA 94.1 FM in the Bay Area or kpfa.org anywhere in the world. We put a little bit of extra work into repackaging this live segment as a podcast because it feels like the information is useful to a lot of people. We ought to make it accessible through as many channels as possible. You can help us get the word out by rating and reviewing it in whatever app you're using to listen. And if you want to pitch in some cash, we wouldn't say no. We always take donations at kpfa.org. I appreciate it if you mentioned Corona Calls when you make your pledge. My name is Brian Edwards-Tiekert. I hope you have a great week. Stay well. We'll talk to you next time.